welcome to Just a Minute. Nicholas Parsons, and as the minute waltz fades away, once more it is my extreme pleasure to welcome our many listeners, not only in this country, in the United Kingdom, but also throughout the world, and also to welcome the four talented, skillful, witty, humorous individuals who this week are going to play Just a Minute. And we welcome back four who played it with tremendous skill in the past, and that is Paul Merton, Graham Norton, Greg Proofs, and Clement Freud. Would you please welcome all four of them? And as usual, I'm going to ask them to speak on a subject that I give them, and they will try and do that if they can without hesitation, repetition, or deviating from the subject. Beside me sits Janet Staplehurst, who's going to help me keep the score, and she will blow a whistle when the 60 seconds are up. And this particular edition of Just a Minute is coming from the Pleasance in Edinburgh. As we begin the show with Clement Freud, Clement, the subject in front of me is Whiz Kids. Tell us something about Whiz Kids in Just a Minute, if you can, starting now.
Hamish and Ophelia Whiz of Ashby-de-la-Zouche have a numerous family, and the kids are called Adam, Bernard, Charles, David, Eric, Ferdinand, Frank, George, twins, Harry, Isaac, James, Kenneth, Leonard, Martin.
Paul Merton has challenged you.
Hesitation.
He was getting a bit slow with them, and I think we have to interpret that as hesitation. So you did jolly well with that list, because it's not easy, actually. But Paul Merton has a correct challenge. So he has a point for that. He takes over the subject, and there are 37 seconds available with kids starting now.
William Hague recently claimed that he drank 18 pints of beer a day while delivering.
Clement Freud challenge.
Deviations.
What?
He claimed he drank 14 pints of beer.
After 10, he couldn't remember how many it was.
Well, according to the newspaper report I read, yes, it was 14 pints of beer. So, Clement, you cleverly got back in with a correct challenge, a point to you. Well, it's a correct challenge. That's the rules of Just a Minute. 32 seconds, Whiz Kids with you, Clement, starting now.
Ariadne, Atalanta, Beatrice, Charlotte, Desiree, Erica.
Graham Norton challenge.
Now, is this, and I'm just touching its straws, is this a sort of deviation? Because it's not established this time that it's the Whiz Kids.
It's a sort of deviation, but
I think they have a right to be named. They have a right to be named.
And I think it's a difficult decision.
And we have a right to be entertained.
A bonus point.
How many kids have they got?
Right. Greg Proofs, the audience enjoyed your interjection so much, so I'm going to give you a bonus point for that.
Well, thank you.
Yes, here we are.
And, that'll be my point for the day.
And so you take over the subject of Whiz Kids, Graham, with a point, of course, 25 seconds starting now. And Clement has challenged.
He hesitated.
No, he didn't. Shows his generous side. The next minute he shows the other side and says, hesitation. No, it wasn't hesitation. Graham, you have another point. You have Whiz Kids. You have 24 seconds starting now.
Whiz Kids is the sort of young people who have more A levels than friends. Oh, yes. They can reboot an entire room full of computers, but they don't know the difference between sweet or dry cider. True, Whiz Kids make a lot of money, and they do keep the corduroy industry afloat. But are they really happy in themselves?
Whoever is speaking as the whistle is blown gains an extra point. On this occasion it was Graham Norton, so he's taken a commanding lead at the end of the first round. He has 3 points, and the other three each have 1 point. So, of course, you're not interested, are you? Isn't really nothing. Some people are interested in points. Greg Proops, will you take the next round? The subject here is the hair of the dog. Tell us something about that subject in this game, starting now.
I'm reminded of a joke by the late singer and famous drunk Dean Martin, who said, I feel sorry for people who don't drink, because that's as good as they're going to feel all day long.
The hair of the... Paul Merton challenge.
Slight hesitation.
There was more than a slight one, I'm afraid.
I'm sorry, I was breathing.
Yes, you... You have to take quick, short breaths
in
just
right.
a minute.
Sorry about the enamel.
Yes.
It's not good enough.
Paul Martin, the correct challenge. You have the subject. You have 47 seconds. The hair of the dog starting now.
I remember a joke on Rowan and Martin's Laughing. They used to have this ticker tape stuff going across the back of the screen, and it said one day, "Go home, Dean Martin, your swimming pool is on fire." And I thought at the time that was a particularly amusing... It's gone down well, hasn't it? And I can see that there are many people here tonight who are experiencing the hair of the dog, because Edinburgh as a festival does relish the alcohol. The pubs stay open, unlike down in the uncivilised south where they close half past 10 on a Sunday. Here, you can drink from May to December any time you like, and it doesn't matter. That's why the highest alcoholic ratio per head is here in Scotland rather than down in Tunbridge Wells.
Right, challenge.
Repetition of here.
Yes, yes, yes.
They're not enjoying the game element very much, are they? They like the talking.
The game is what it's all about, and he did. In fact, he repeated it twice, so Clement did actually wait. So it is a correct challenge, Clement. Within the rules of just a minute, I give it to you. You have a point, you have 12 seconds, you have the hair of the dog starting now.
The saying is, the hair of the dog that bites you is quite unlike the hair of the dog that you take on the sidewalk to go to McDonald's and eat.
Paul Merton challenge.
I don't think that is the saying. That's not how the saying goes. That's just something Clement's made up for his own fancy.
That's what sayings are. Mm.
But he's made it up. We can't dispute it, because within the rules of just a minute, he didn't hesitate, he didn't repeat any words, and I don't think he's actually deviated. There's 1 second. Clement Freud, incorrect challenge, a point to you. The hair of the dog starting now.
Brown.
And Paul, challenge.
Hesitation.
Yes. You're keen and not keen enough, no. Half a second, the hair of the dog, Clement, starting now.
White.
Clement Freud was then speaking as the whistle went, gained that extra point. He's now equal in the lead with Paul Merton, and the other two are trailing a little behind. And Graham, your turn to begin. The subject is how to take a compliment. Tell us something about that in this game, starting now.
How to take a compliment is a mystery to me. For to my certain knowledge, I don't think I've ever received one. I arrive at parties, people open the door and go, "Oh, it's you. Go in there, why don't you?" I would love to receive a compliment, because it's a very good thing to get, I believe. Maybe I should learn how to take a compliment. And then that way, if someone said, "Greg Proops, you're very funny," I could go, "I'm Greg Proops." Oh, I've said that twice, haven't I?
Yeah, clever try. Yes, Clement got him first. Too much of Greg Proops in the game. Understand me? Repetition. Right. 30 seconds, Clement. How to take a compliment. Starting now.
The very best thing, best place to which to take a compliment is
Greg Proops challenge.
I'm afraid I'm going to ask you. He said best twice. Repetition?
Yes.
Yes.
Well done, Greg. 25 seconds.
Thank you.
Greg, you look at me.
I just forget to say repetition first.
Yeah, no, but you looked at me so apologetically. It was my way of saying, yes, you are right. It wasn't me being condescending.
No, I appreciate that.
Yes, right. Thank goodness for that. 25 seconds, how to take a compliment, starting now.
How to take a compliment. For instance, if Nicholas Parsons says, "Well done," don't look at him that way. Because he interprets it as the kind of glance that means that I didn't know what I was talking about. Whereas, what I was actually doing was flubbing around, waiting for something to come into my brain so that I could accept a compliment. My point is this. When someone pays you a compliment, it is incumbent upon yourself to accept the compliment as fervently...
Greg Proops, speaking as the whistle went, then gained that extra point, and Anna's in the round. He's leapt forward. He's equal with Graham Norton in third place, a little way behind Clement Freud, and he's one behind our leader, Paul Merton. And Greg Proops, your turn to begin. The subject, cardigans. And 60 seconds as usual, starting now.
Cardigans have many purposes. In Denmark...
Paul Merton challenge.
Name five. My purposes, we can't.
Give us half a chance.
Well, maybe if he continues, he will name five.
All I want is five uses for a cardigan.
Right. Well, it was an interruption
okay.
And an incorrect challenge. So there's nothing within the rules of just a minute. So you have another point, Greg. You have 57 seconds to continue. Cardigans are starting now.
The chief use for cardigans, number one, if you will. During Christmas, Paul Merton wraps a cardigan around his head and listens to the show just a minute. The second use is the cardigan that Paul sits on while he listens.
Poor challenge.
Repetition of Paul.
I think you'll find I was referring to another Paul.
Fair enough.
You may have been referring to another Paul,
yes.
But it's the words that count in just a minute, and you repeated the word Paul. So, Paul, you've got in with 44 seconds. Tell us something about cardigans, starting now.
It's like a jumper, except that you can button it up. There are seven uses for cardigans. One is rescuing sheep off the side of hills. Two is saving cows who have fallen off cliffs. Three is persuading a horse to eat chocolate against its will. Four is to make a traffic warden go purple when you tie it very tightly around his neck. Five, as a distress signal when you're at sea, you can wave it at the other ships. Oh, he hasn't got a flag, but he's got a nice cardigan in my finger. And I think that's about as many uses for a cardigan as they are, so I rest my case.
Freud challenge first.
He's rested his case.
And so that was hesitation. Right. So you tell us something about cardigans, Clement. 13 seconds available starting now.
It was a hesitation.
It was a hesitation. He obviously doesn't know much
None
about
None of us
that.
Like it, but it's true. I wish it hadn't been me who drawn attention to it.
Well, come on, more cardigans with you. 12 seconds, Paul, starting now.
The cardigans who live in Cardiff have a tremendously large family. There's Bob, Carol, Ted, Alice, Sammy, William, Frank, Bernard, Cheryl...
So Paul Merton kept going to the whistle away and gained that extra point for doing so with others in the round. He's taking the lead just ahead of Clement Freud, and then come Graham Norton and Greg Proops in that order. Clement, it's your turn to begin. The subject, the icing on the cake. There are 60 seconds as usual, starting now.
The icing on the cake is traditionally sweet. The sugar can be brown or white. Icing, caster, granulated, Barbados, demerara. Never mind where it comes from. The icing is the important thing. It makes the cake.
Hesitation.
Yeah, and there was a hesitation.
It's all cake. Yeah.
No, so, Paul, you got in first. 41 seconds. The icing on the cake starting now.
Whenever I come here to the festival, the icing on the cake for me is to do just a minute. I travel up here particularly from London, specially to record this show. It's a great, wonderful program to be involved in, and I think we should all reflect on it for a moment in silence.
Thank you for that round of applause. I feel that for all of us. But Clement Freud buzzed his buzzer in the process, and you have got...
I reflected.
You reflected. And you're going to have the hesitation, are you? I thought you might. So, 26 seconds, Clement. The icing on the cake starting now.
A matter of fascination to me is that organic articles are now put into cakes and icings. Sugar that never, ever... I said sugar before.
We have had sugar before.
We have had sugar before, yeah.
Right at the beginning.
Lots
yes.
of sugar.
So,
yeah.
Paul, you've got in with 13 seconds on the subject. The icing on the cake starting now.
The icing has to be, as Clement has said, particularly sweet. A bitter icing would be a contradiction in terms, almost. Who wants to eat an acid cake? Nobody.
Graham.
You've never eaten an acid cake in your life.
My mother's a professional chemist. Food and drink to us at home.
Poor devils.
As long as you don't eat a cake with acid in it, that's the most important. Yeah, right. No. Graham has got his bonus point, which you've been searching for, but Paul was interrupted, so he gets a point.
I wonder where I left it.
Yeah. And 2 seconds for you, Paul, to continue on. The icing on the cake, Paul, starting now.
Mr. Kipling is a man who knows a lot about cake.
Paul Merton was speaking then as the whistle went, so he's now leapt forward, and he's overtaken Clement Freud. He's now in the lead just two ahead of him, and Graham Norton and Greg Proops follow in that order. And Greg, it's your turn to begin. And the subject is the British climate. As an American, can you talk about the British climate? 60 seconds, starting now.
The British climate can be described in one word. No bloody sun. The moisture that clouds the sky here creates an atmosphere of levity and optimism unparalleled anywhere else in Europe. Why, one has but to walk down the street of anywhere on this favored island to see people go, "Hi, neighbor, howdy, come on over, we're having a barbecue." I invite everyone, one and all, to join us in our levity as the beams from the gigantic orange orb penetrate our skin, turning us into the richly colored favored people.
Paul Merton Challenge.
Are you being sarcastic?
He certainly was, but he was still keeping going within the rules of just a minute and entertaining the audience. So, incorrect challenge, Greg. Got another point.
Hurrah!
You've got 26 seconds. The British climate with you starting now.
The British climate is something that the people of Britain seek to escape. For each year, they take trips to Florida, where the sun hangs high and...
Graham Norton Challenge.
The repetition of song.
Yes, the sun was in before, yes.
Oh, Graham caught me out on that one, you clever nipper, you.
Graham, you've got in on the British climate, and you have 17 seconds starting now.
We may have lost the empire, every major sporting event and other things beside, but there's still a British climate, God damn it. We can be very proud of it. For nowhere else in the world has a climate...
Graham Norton was speaking as the whistle went. Gained that extra point for doing so. Clement, it's your turn to begin. The subject, stalemate. Tell us something about stalemate in this game, if you can, starting now.
I went into a cafe and a man said, "What do you think of the icing on the cake?" I said, "Stalemate." Because the sugar, which was white and sweet and contained demerara, had sort of...
Paul Challenge.
Deja vu, I think. I think we've heard all this before, haven't we?
We have, but...
But not on this subject.
But not on this one. But what is your challenge, first?
Well, you tell me.
I'm not psychic, and we're not playing psychic just
now. I don't know, I haven't got one.
But it could have been. If he'd gone on a bit longer about icing on the cake, then it would have been away from stalemate. I don't think he deviated long enough, so poor Clement, you still have the subject, and another point, of course, and 44 seconds stalemate starting now.
When you play chess with one of your children, be it Charlie or Fred...
Graham Norton Challenge.
I don't have any children, Clement.
What has that got to do with...
You're not trying hard enough.
When you play chess with your children. I can't play chess and pop no children.
Well, he's talking personally. When I took it as the fact that he's playing with his children.
Is everything about you?
So have you got another...
Everything revolves around Graham.
Have you got another challenge within the rules of just a minute?
All right. Oh, do I have another one?
You can have another chance, yes.
Deviation?
No, I could have given you hesitation.
Oh, this is a modern game, isn't it? No, you just got a game.
You have 39 seconds, Clement. Stalemate starting now.
Queens, rooks, pawns are all hugely important to affecting a stalemate in a game which you play, which is pronounced C-H-E-S.
Paul Challenge.
It's spelt C-H-E-S. It's not pronounced C-H-E-S.
The tough thing of keeping going in just a minute. Yes, the correct challenge, a point to you, Paul. And you have stalemate 27 seconds starting now.
I've really got nothing to say about it.
Clement Floyd Challenge.
Shut up.
That's nice, isn't it?
Fred, that's very unkind.
Enjoying the show.
I say his timing was impeccable, but the thing is, you haven't got... Have you got any other challenges in the rules of just a minute? No, you haven't. Because actually, he can say, "I've nothing much to say about the subject," and still go on talking about it. That's just a minute. So, Paul, it was an incorrect challenge. You have another point. You have 25 seconds. Stalemate starting now.
There was two cars driving down a country lane, each from the opposite direction, and they stopped in the middle of this road and decided that neither one of them was going to back up to let the other vehicle through. And so they were there for several hours until eventually the police were called and threw her.
Clement Freud Challenge.
Hesitation.
Hesitation, yes. What a wonderful sketch that was in your show, Paul. I remember it very well.
That's why I talked about it with some authority.
I know. That's it. Clement, a correct challenge. The subject is stalemate. There are 8 seconds available starting now.
The stalemate could be...
Paul Clinton Challenge.
Why don't you shut up?
Two can play at that.
I know. And he gets another point. You got a point the other time. They keep saying shut up to each other. You can keep giving each other points like this and run away with it from the other two on the left-hand side of the stage. Clement, 7 seconds. Stalemate starting now.
Stalemate could be a situation in which two cars coming at each other from opposite directions.
Clement Freud and Paul Merton on my right are battling it out in the lead. One is 1 point ahead, Clement Freud of Paul Merton, and the other two are battling it out in second place. On my left, that's Greg Proops and Graham Norton. And Graham, it's your turn to begin. The subject is a free lunch. Tell us something about that in just a minute, starting now.
The idea of a free lunch is wonderfully appealing, but we must pause and consider, dear friends, the emotional cost. Yes, it's a wedding buffet. You haven't paid, you're gobbling it all down. But the trauma of having to talk to relatives you don't really know very well. Perhaps they're an architect or an accountant. And they'll go on to you about how, actually, working with figures in my job is a bit like being an actor. And you think, no, it's not, it's really dull. Shut up, go away, let me get on with a free lunch. I'm quite enjoying it without you. Am I still talking? It seems I am.
Yes, you can stop talking. I've been called a challenge, you actually. There wasn't much noise from his buzzer, but his light came on, so I know he challenged. Yes, Paul.
Yes.
What?
He's still talking.
Oh, right. So have you a challenge when the rules are just a minute?
No, but it would have been funnier if it had come in quicker.
Why is it coming quicker?
My challenge.
Oh, right.
A lot of fannying about.
Well, the audience will laugh so much. So, he's still talking, and he has 17 seconds. You're still the twin, you guys.
This is getting a little metaphysical for me.
I know, yeah.
He's still... asking if he's still talking while he's talking, and then you're telling him he's talking while he's not talking. So is he talking or is he not talking? And when do we know if he started or stopped? For instance, are you talking now?
No, just a minute, Greg, you've earned another bonus point. Sorry. Greg, actually, I just looked here. You've got about 8 or 9 points, and nearly all of them are bonus points. But that is the great value to the show. I mean, it's the contributions, isn't it? Right. Graham, you're still talking. When you start. You still have a free lunch, and you still have 17 seconds starting now.
Favorite free lunch consists of cake icing. Nothing but that, piled very high on a plate. I eschew the marzipan. I don't like that. But the hard white stuff on top of it, particularly if it's free, and especially if it's a lunch.
Graham Norton, the freaky man, whistle went and gained an extra point for doing so. In fact, he started with the subject and finished with it and was interrupted once or twice, so he got points. He's moved forward. He's trailing Paul Merton a little. We're moving into the final round, I should tell you. Clement Freud is just in the lead, one ahead of Paul, so I think it's between those two, but the others still have a chance. And Greg Proops is trailing Graham Norton in that sequence as Paul Merton begins the final round, which is Whippersnapper. Tell us something about whippersnapper, Paul, starting now.
Well, it's an old-fashioned English word meaning, quite literally, whippersnapper. And it usually refers to young people, perhaps, kids maybe, who are slightly just out of short trousers, or indeed long pants, whichever way you look at it, who are very, 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 very
young. Clement Freud, challenge.
Very, very,
it's difficult, isn't it? 43 seconds, Clement, you've got the subject, whippersnapper. And I said 43 seconds, starting now.
A snapper is a sort of pinkish fish, much loved in the country from which Greg Proops comes. And a whipper would simply be a chap with a lasso attempting to catch the snapper, making him...
Cram Norton Sharon's.
There'd be a whip then, wouldn't it? A lasso is a whip.
No, he was...
I'm just chatting now.
A man who wheels.
I just thought you mightn't get around to telling us what I asked.
I think he was trying to convey that he was sort of whipping in the snappers. And it's a rather bizarre idea, but within the rules of just a minute, I don't think he was deviating.
That's interesting, yeah. Mm. Yeah.
Right. But we loved hearing from you.
Yeah, no.
Yes.
It's always nice to hear from you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Are you
yeah.
well?
Yeah, I'm good.
You're both doing well. And 27 seconds, Clement Freud, another point to you. Whippersnapper starting now.
A photographer taking pictures of flagellation could well be termed a whippersnapper.
Paul Merton challenged.
A triumphant silence. Yeah.
Well, when you get laughs like that, you rest in your laurels, don't you? And the shock he got as well as the applause. Right. So, Paul, yes, hesitation, definitely. 14 seconds available with you, whippersnapper, starting now.
When I first appeared on Just a Minute in 1988, I was very much regarded as a whippersnapper. I was a young boy, wet behind...
Greg Proops challenge.
I believe he said young before.
Yes, it did.
Yes, he did. Yes, a whippersnapper. He's talking about the young people, yes. Yeah. So, Greg, you got in, and there's 7 seconds left. You might even finish this show for us. I don't mean to finish it off. No, no, it's no standing.
Welcome to the final episode.
This could be the final contribution of this particular episode. There's 7 seconds available with you, Greg, on Whippersnapper, starting now.
Whippersnapper is what my father would call me when I was a young lad. When I... Oh!
So, Greg Crooks, who's not played the game as much as the others, got some points at the end there, and he's finished up equal with Graham Norton in third place. They had a large number of points. Lovely contribution. But they were just behind Paul Merton, and two ahead of Paul Merton was Clement Freud. So this week we say, Clement, you are our winner. So... it only remains for me to say thank you to our four intrepid and daring players of the game, which is Paul Merton, Graham Norton, Greg Proops, and Clement Freud. And I also thank Janet Staplehurst for helping me with the score and blowing her whistle. We are indebted to our producer, Claire Jones, who keeps us in order as much as she can and puts the show together. And we're also indebted to the creator of this game, Ian Messiter, and we're deeply indebted to this lovely audience here at the presence of the Festival Fringe, who've cheered us on our way nobly and with great vivacity. From our audience, from the players, from me, Nicholas Parsons, until we meet again, goodbye!